Hello, Symphony Church. Welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read this for us, and then I will share a quick devotion for that. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of defense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Amen. This chapter starts off with a direct continuation of what was said in chapter 1. As a quick refresher, chapter 1 ends with a call from Peter to pursue holiness, to be holy as God is holy. Then in the few verses of today's chapter, he urges the believers to therefore put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and instead to long for pure spiritual milk, just as a newborn infant longs for literal milk, so that we can continue to grow into salvation. To be clear here, Peter is most definitely not saying to do such and such things so that we can earn salvation. He's not saying, you know, this is so that we can be saved. He's talking about growing into it, as in we've received salvation. Again, he's speaking to Christians after all. So we've received salvation, now continue to grow into it, you know, just as a child who drinks milk will grow physically. Peter is talking about drinking this spiritual milk in order so that we might grow and mature spiritually. In the next few verses after that, he refers to the believers as living stones built up as a spiritual house within which the Spirit of God dwells. And then we get to verse 9, which is where I want to focus our time on for today. Verses 9 through 12 harken back to what Peter says at the very beginning of this letter. As you might remember, Peter wrote this letter to followers of Jesus who had been forced into exile. Literally in the first verse of this book, Peter mentioned something called the dispersion. This was when early Christians, this was what was referred to as when early Christians were forced to flee their homes and were dispersed as a result of persecution for their faith. The Christians all started in Jerusalem, but they're forced to flee and essentially exile to different parts of the ancient world. And in these verses, we see that reference to that. In verse 11, Peter addresses them as sojourners and exiles, which is language that would have hit home and felt very real to these readers, these listeners. Peter is writing to a people without a home, like literally without a home. They were people in foreign lands spread out throughout much of the ancient world. As a result of this, they're likely confused, uncertain about who they are, and what they're supposed to do, and how they're supposed to live. They had all encountered Christ at some point, but now he was actually the reason they found themselves in the situation. And so you can imagine some of them were not only confused, but maybe just uncertain even about what this faith is all about. I imagine Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, knew all of this. And so I imagine this is why Peter says what he does here in these verses. In verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Peter here is reminding these early Christians of their identity as chosen people of God. Yes, they've lost much of what they once had, but he's reminding them that you are people who belong to God. You know, verse 10, once you were not a people, you were lost and you were on your own at one point, but now you are God's people. You received his love and his mercy and received the new identity and calling upon your life because of it. So yes, you are in a foreign land among a people you do not know. You've faced and may continue to face challenges for what you believe in and for who you are. But remember who you are. You are a people chosen by God, called to proclaim the excellencies of the one who brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. In other words, live as who you are, and through that, make Jesus known wherever you are. You know, Peter talks about the conduct where, you know, verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. This is not just about being good people, but it's about living as those who are God's chosen people so that when people see the way that they live, you know, see their good deeds, God will be known, that he would be glorified. I think this is a very applicable message for all of us. Though we may not face the same kinds of persecutions these early Christians did, we too may find it difficult to remember our identity. We might feel like the context that we're in, whether it's at school or work or just living in a city like Boston, that our identity as a follower of Jesus is often not accepted, maybe even attacked at different points. And therefore, we might forget. We might forget our identity. We might hide it. We may not let it come out. Or maybe another example, many of us will be traveling for the holiday season. And obviously, this is a great time, but maybe we'll be among family or friends who aren't Christians, people who don't understand our identity as followers of Jesus. And therefore, it's possible that we might be, because we're in these contexts, we might lose sight of our identity. We might fall into old habits or tendencies, or maybe just hide this identity because it just seems easier that way. If any of those apply to you, my encouragement for you is to listen, to remember to Peter's words here, to remember your identity. Remember your calling. Remember that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are one of the people of God. I invite you, I encourage you to remember this and to steadfastly live as such, where again, your conduct will point to God and all of his goodness. And maybe for whatever reason, the examples I gave just now, you don't feel like it applies to you. But even for you, I want to remind you, remind all of us, that this message is actually applicable to all of us, because as a follower of Jesus, we're all actually sojourners and exiles in a way. You see, this world is not our home. Our true home awaits us on the other side of eternity. But until that day comes, until that day we see Jesus face to face, until the day he calls us home, we're called to be a people for God's own possession. And we're in a land that does not, we're in a world that does not accept God, where it's difficult to, where we're constantly being rejected in a way. Even still, we're called as God's own possession, as God's people, to proclaim the excellencies of God wherever we are and whoever we are around. We're to stay vigilant, keeping our conduct honorable, so that others will see how we live and one day, Lord willing, come to know God as well. So let's do that. Let's remember who we are, and as a result of this, live that out faithfully each day. Let me pray to close this out. Father, we thank you for this time in your word today. Lord, I just ask that you would help us, whether we're on our way to work, whether we're getting ready to spend time with friends or family. Lord, help us to remember our identity. Help us to remember who we are in you and to be faithful in holding on to this identity. Help us to be faithful, God. And we know that there's a part that we play in this in terms of remembering and being active, but we also know that we need your help with this. And so, Holy Spirit, please guide us. Give us your strength. Give us the will to continue to remain faithful to you. So we thank you, God. Thank you that we can be, that we are called your own. Thank you, Lord, for this new identity, this new life that we have. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.